Okay, it's the top of the hour, so let's get started. Welcome, one and all, to the Peace Alliance monthly field call for January 2019. My name is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance, and I'm so pleased to be with you tonight, and I'm grateful to all of you for joining us. Here's the agenda for tonight. In a little while, I'm going to introduce Nancy Merritt, who's on our Leadership Council, and she's going to introduce our special guest for this evening, Kit Miller. And after that, Kit's going to speak for about 10 minutes. Kit is with the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence, as many of you probably know. And then we're going to have 15 minutes for discussion, question and answer with Kit. After that, we'll have an update on our Truth and Reconciliation campaign. And then we'll have a Department of Peacebuilding update. And then we're going to review the monthly action. So folks should all have received in your inbox a message that gives you a link to tonight's action. So I encourage you to take a look at your email inbox, if not right this minute, then sometime in the next half an hour or so, so that you can look at that action sheet while Kendra is reviewing the action and talking about what that action consists of. In your email inbox, it should have arrived within the last 30 minutes or so. After we review the action and have a little training on that, I'm committed to making sure we have time for field shares tonight. We'll have shares from anybody on the call who's got things happening in your peacebuilding world, whether it's in your neighborhood, in your community, in your schools, or in your political work, whether that's on the city, county, state, or federal, or Indian tribe level. We want to know what's going on with you. And I know last month we ran out of time and didn't get to those field shares. So I'm hoping to stick pretty tightly to our agenda for tonight. I'm trying to identify our special guest by her phone number. I see a Catherine Miller, and I'm going to unmute you for just a moment to see if Catherine is the same as Kit. You're unmuted. Kit, is that you? That's Catherine Miller?
I think so.
Okay. That's you. Terrific. Just wanted to make sure that you're with us. Great.
There's a lot of Millers out there.
Okay. But you are Kit Miller, our special guest for tonight?
I believe I am.
Okay. If you believe it, then I believe it too. Good enough for me. I'm going to go ahead and mute you again for another few minutes while Nancy goes ahead and introduces you. So great. Our special guest is here. We're halfway there. Again, warm welcome to you all. Thanks for joining us. And now I'm going to introduce Nancy, who is on our Leadership Council. She's the Leadership Council representative for the Department of Peacebuilding Committee and a longtime friend and compatriot of mine, compatriot, if you will. Nancy, you are live. Go ahead and tell us what you want to tell us about our guest.
Okay, thank you. I'm thrilled to introduce the mysterious Catherine Miller. She served as the director, has served as the director of the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence in a very cold Rochester, New York, since 2009. And before that, she was the director celebrator of the Bay Area Nonviolent Communications Group in the very much warmer Oakland, California, where she served from 2004 to 2009. Kit has been learning about and organizing for nonviolence for the past 25 years and draws on Gandhian and Kingian nonviolence, as well as nonviolent communications and permaculture for her direction and daily practice. In addition to using the Gandhi Institute itself as a learning laboratory, she teaches and works on community projects related to restorative justice, sustainability, and anti-racism. She has taught hundreds of groups worldwide and is proud to have spoken at the United Nations last fall on sharing nonviolence with youth in the 21st century. We're excited to welcome this former San Francisco Bay Area peace builder and to learn more about what Kit is up to at the M.K. Gandhi Institute and more about the Nonviolence Now campaign. So welcome, Kit.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Dan, and thank you, everybody, for turning up on the call tonight. When I was based out in the Bay Area, I did a lot of work with the DOP folks out there, including having a very, very memorable breakfast with Marianne Williamson and Marshall Rosenberg and Van Jones that goes down in history as one of the most interesting breakfasts I've ever had. So, yeah, it's just great to be here. Thank you, all of you, for your work on the DOP. I actually went to Philadelphia and went to the site of Benjamin Rush's house and put a little Nonviolence Now sticker, not permanently, of course, on his house site and took a picture of it because since I first learned about the DOP and Benjamin Rush is the first person who proposed a Department of Peace. Very early in our country's history. He's always on my mind. So I thank you for continuing that work. So I'm just going to speak for a few minutes about the Nonviolence Now Project, because mostly I'm interested in knowing what you care about in terms of this effort. I saw there's a little description that went in the email about the project. And for those of you who are near a computer, you could also be looking at the website as we go, nonviolencenow.org. There should be some slides for those of you who are also using the computer for the call. We've got some slides that we wanted you to see also in terms of the ads and where they were placed. So very briefly, last year, about a year ago, the Gandhi Institute, which is a very regionally focused group of there's 10 of us working there. Our focus is on people between the ages of 12 and 24 and those who serve them. The Rochester area is an area that's got a tremendous history in terms of the Haudenosaunee people, tremendous social justice history with Susan B. Anthony and Frederick Douglass. And also it has a tremendous history of hypersegregation and racism. This is truly the Deep North. So the poverty rates there, school graduation rates, pretty egregious. So it's a tremendous area to work in. So we were there doing this very sort of deep work in this one region, and last year sort of surprisingly won a global prize for social media through the Newman Zone Foundation. And when we thought about getting this prize, which was $250,000 worth of digital banner ads, a month long, $250,000 prize. It just didn't seem to make sense, honestly, to use it for our own efforts. So the idea came in, honestly, during a prayer time for me of instead using the campaign to promote the idea of nonviolence itself, to interrupt people around the world, their regularly scheduled programming that violence is inevitable and pleasurable. A group of people came together, there's a whole steering committee that's been working on this. I'm the facilitator of that team, but we're all, you know, equal voiced, and it's beautiful. People in their 22, 23 years old are on the team, the website designer and the graphic designer. And then we've got a woman who's a Meta Center for Nonviolence board member who's a retired marketing executive from Intel, so she brought a tremendous amount of resource and insight. Rivera Sun, who's a nonviolence trainer, you know, an amazing wordsmith, she came in with her word magic. Maya Bankson from Oakland came in. So there was this wonderful group of volunteers. And what we did is we visualized a media project that would introduce nonviolence globally to people, especially young people who are using handheld devices. We imagined people who had heard little or nothing about nonviolence and for whom stories about the effectiveness and the global reach of nonviolence would be new and surprising information. Our theory of change was informed along the way by a report that was generated by the Youth Peace and Security Working Group at the United Nations, who we met with as part of this effort, and also by a report from the Institute for Strategic Dialogue, which is a London-based think and do tank that's been looking at pioneer policy and operational responses to extremism and intercommunal conflict. So we've been trying to be very research-based and thinking about how do we best intervene online on social digital media spaces. The campaign launched at the United Nations in 2019. We did all of what we did on zero budget for creative and web. It was all volunteer-based. We raised about $10,000 early on in addition to the prize, which was used to purchase ads in Facebook. And we purchased ads specifically in spaces online where violence was particularly concentrated. The media company in Atlanta, Public Foundation, loved what we did so much that they said, you know, we want to do something bigger than 1 month. So they were actually recently able to extend the campaign to 3 months, and they also supported us to put an ad, a full page ad, in Newsweek magazine. So we were actually the inside front cover of Newsweek magazine on the December 7th issue last month. For those of you who have Newsweek around, it's the cover story of Bryan Stevenson's amazing work. And the article is focused on is racism, is about racism. I don't have it in front of me. I want to tell you just a few, just a little bit, because we had some kind of remarkable results. In the first month of the campaign, we were able to reach just 1,058,975 people. That was amazing to do. We had these beautiful images from all over the world that we were able to see. We were excited that our click-through rates for our campaign were much higher than the industry benchmarks. We were getting rates of much higher. I'm looking. Our click-through rate for some results was like a full, like three times higher than normal. And then when we did something called retargeting, where we went back around to people who had checked their ads at some point, it got much higher. The click-through rate, we were able to deliver and another part of the campaign, just about 1.2 million impressions globally. We were excited to find out that for the tracking that we did, that these ads were particularly impactful for young men ages 18 to 24, which was a great cue. That was a key demographic for us. So it was 18 to 24 and then 25 to 34, both for impressions viewed and then also for click-throughs onto the website. We also were excited in the United States, which is relevant to the project that you guys all work on, that some of the highest rates of engagement with the ads in the website actually came from urban areas in Texas. Dallas-Fort Worth had some of the highest rates, as well as Houston. So it was an exciting project to be working on. And of course I was learning a lot all along the way. So that's a little bit of some of the backstory of what we were doing and what we've been up to. At this point, from everything that we've learned, we'd like to continue the campaign if more money comes in, but maybe it won't. Maybe this is the end of it and we're going to tell the story and other people will pick up this ball and run with it. We don't know. We're kind of in a creative space with that right now. So I want to keep an eye on the time. I'm going to hit pause and take questions.
Now, Kit, before we move on to questions, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to show those slides while you were talking, so I haven't been showing them. Would you like me to show them now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So I guess you're not looking at a computer now, is that correct?
That's right. Sorry, Dan.
Okay. That's okay. So you won't be able to see them, but shall I sort of name them and you can say whatever you want to say about each one as I go through?
Yeah, Yeah, we can just do that real quick.
Okay, so I'm gonna share the screen, and then I'll show, and anyone who's watching on a computer will be able to see what these ads are.
Well, Dan's looking those up. You'll notice we used some very vivid colors. We did actually quite a bit of research and tested these ads for color and what would help them to pop. So a lot of effort went into the designing something that was had the best response possible.
So what I have up now, Kit, is your first slide. I think it's the one that has nonviolence now, discover more on the right side of the page. Shall I just go right through all,
we
all
can
of
just,
them?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, sure.
Just to get, I just wanted people to have a sense of what the visuals were.
Yeah, sure. And this the second one has a, it's more of a square shape and a face and sort of purple and yellow.
Yep.
And the third one has a map of the all the countries in the, on the planet with peace signs on it. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yep. That third, the screen that Dan's showing you right now is actually a screenshot of the website from today. So what, one of the things that we've been doing as part of the website when people come to visit is that we're asking them to share their real stories. And I hope that some of you on the call, because I know if you've been working on this project, you have got your own stories of times when you've intervened and done things that have kept the peace or increased the peace in different spaces where you've moved. So we are, imagine, you know, some young person reading and who's, and just a simple story. It doesn't have to be, you know, some big dramatic campaign, something simple. So I'm hoping that all of you will visit the nonviolencenow.org site and lend us a story.
I'm making a note to myself to do that.
Sweet. Thanks, Dan.
Sure. And the fourth one is, I guess that's the one from the inside cover of Newsweek. Is that what that is?
Yep. And that one was, that's probably the most controversial ad that we created. Not everybody liked that, but the other ads that we tested, we just didn't get the response. And we really wanted to kind of stop people in their tracks. So that was the ad that was in, and that went into about 400,000 distribution. So we haven't been able to track any of the impact from that yet, but we're hoping that it will be, and it couldn't have been better placed just on the inside front cover.
And for folks who can't see it right now, it's an image of a gun, and I think it's a toy gun. Is that true?
It is.
Okay. And the language says, violence is an epidemic. What if there was a cure? As a critical response to violence and injustice, a worldwide campaign is introducing the reality of nonviolence to billions of people. Real stories, real change. Discover more at nonviolencenow.org. Beautiful. Congratulations. Okay. I'm going to stop the screen share so that I can call on folks for questions. Okay, so if you have a question, if you're on the computer, there's a hand raising function feature that you can use. If you're on your phone, you can press *9. Linda Daniels, your hand was up a while ago, so I'm not sure if you put it up on purpose or by accident. So I will check in with you and see. Linda, did you have a question or something to add?
No, thank you.
Okay. That was an accident. Okay. Well, nice to talk to you anyway. I see Nancy, and then after that I see Peter. I'll go ahead. Nancy, you're unmuted.
Okay. Hi, Kit. This is Nancy. It looked like from the slides that you advertised on CNN and Amazon and Newsweek. Are there other places where you had ads or that you hope to place ads if you get more funding?
Well, these were some of the ads were pro bono. So the really big campaign was pro bono, and these were ads all over the world. So there's a logarithm of basically when space is available, that free ads can go in. So I'm not sure where all the ads went everywhere. And the ads in the United States that we did, we spent about $10,000 and had a great return on that $10,000. We went really into the spaces online where violence is very concentrated, spaces where really violent video games are played. We tracked NRA advertising and put our ads right in next to as close as possible. We even asked about if we could put ads on pornography sites, but they wouldn't go for that. And so we were really trying to poke the bear. And we had some great results. And I think it's important, you know, in these spaces to, you know, I think sometimes, I think especially young people are just lost. So it was great. It was great to be able to do that. And there's so much, you know, data coming out now about how important it is for us to get these messages out in these spaces, these digital spaces where young people around the world spend so much time.
Well, thank you. That's terrific.
I can't take the credit because it was the whole team, but I'll receive your thanks on behalf of everybody else and pass it on.
Okay.
Spoken like a true team player. So I see Peter next, and after Peter, there's no waiting. So if you have something to ask or to add, go ahead and raise your hand. If you're on the computer, you should be able to use your mouse and find the menu, the three-dot menu, and be able to raise your hand. And again, if you are on your phone, you can press *9 to raise your hand. Okay, Peter, you're up.
Okay, thank you. Kit, I'm impressed by the amount of coverage that you managed to get with this and the number of people that you were able to contact. My question, two questions. One question is, what is the next step in this thing? How do you follow up on this and move people from an interest in nonviolence to actually being able to use the skills of nonviolence in some way, either in their own personal lives or in the life of the country?
Yeah, that's a great question, Peter. For the purposes of this campaign, we were mainly trying to just expose people to an idea that they possibly never heard of before, or only heard it in the context of how unlikely it is. I mean, that's the way that nonviolence is presented in most spaces. And so we weren't trying to, you know, take people. We were trying to basically interrupt people and help them think again, and very deliberate in terms of using the map and the stories, like a simple way. We are also, the site is multilingual, and so we had 9 different languages, very easily translatable for people to access. There was a resource page on the site, and it listed nonviolence organizations from around the world. And we asked people to, you know, take a look at the sites for that project or for a place near them on the planet, or to, you know, continue their learning. One thing I want to say, I think probably one of the more radical elements of this project was that actually you won't find the Gandhi Institute located anywhere on the Nonviolence Now site. And we didn't list ourselves as a resource. We decided to list another U.S.-based organization, the Meta Center for Nonviolence, because they do a lot of online training for nonviolence. We wanted to make sure that the campaign wasn't U.S.-centric. We wanted to be very careful, so we languaged everything very carefully to not have it be slangy or U.S. We wanted to, if anything, kind of give the campaign to the world from the United States as an act of reparation for the harm, the weapon sales, the way we've exported violence. So we weren't trying to do everything with this, Peter, especially given the fact that we did this whole project all volunteer. We raised $10,000, as I said, and all that money went into purchasing the ads on social media. I think we had amazing outcomes given like how we did it. And so I'm trying to get the word out about the project because I want to inspire other people to do this kind of stuff on social media. It was great. There's not really an easy way to measure this, but that's why we turned to the research, you know, such as this Institute for Strategic Dialogue, who have been doing a lot of research on using these kinds of campaigns, and they were able to measure the effectiveness of them globally, and they were highly effective. So that's as much as we know right now.
Okay, second question then. I guess so. Second question is, if somebody actually contacts you through one of these ads, what happens then?
Some people have contacted us and shared stories, which we put up on the web. So you'll see, if you go on the site, you see some of the stories are user generated. We also have created an artist who's working and creating some beautiful content on Facebook and Instagram that's got almost every day a story, a quote, something that would help people draw in more into the learning about it. Not surprisingly, we started getting some wonderfully cranky responses to our material, especially going into some of the spaces online that we did. Like somebody sent us a photo of the Klan and advocating for the Ku Klux Klan, and some other stuff was said that had swears in it. So we actually decided last month, working with our friend Molly Rowan Leach, Rivera's son, and Dominic Barter, we actually did a training last month called Conflict in the Comments. We had about 150 people from around the world talking about peacekeeping online, peacekeeping in social media. And if you're interested in that, if you go on the Nonviolence Now Facebook page, you can access that training. There's a recording of it. It was a good training. We're talking about doing more of that because people were very hungry. A lot of relationships are getting formed, maintained, and destroyed online, and we wanted to try to think about how to do that in a good way. So this
did
is very much
Rivera
an emergent property. Rivera and Dominic Barter. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and Rivera is one of the people on our steering committee too, which we're super lucky to have.
Yes, I got that.
Us. Yep.
Yes.
So we're kind of in the next, I'd say we just wrapped up phase one of this project. We have one grant that we've written. I'm waiting to hear back. If we get more money from them, from this place, then we'll keep going. We'll keep going in some way regardless. But to be honest with you, I'm not attached that this particular project needs to keep going in the way that it has. What I wanted to do is basically, get the word out about the potential of it. I've learned so much in the last year and about how powerful social media can be, especially powerful and effective in interrupting narratives of violence. There was also a great report I read that stories from other parts of the world are especially powerful for young people to read. So how are we going to get stories about peacekeeping and nonviolence out into the world is a question I put out to all of you on the call.
Wonderful. Great project. Thanks for your question, Peter. Questions?
Thank you.
Yeah. We have one other person with a question, but I'm going to be disciplined about time tonight and ask you if you could. Terry, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get to your question during this segment. Kit, is there some place that Terry can email you if she has a direct question for you?
Sure, I'm happy to hear from anybody. Mm-hmm. Anytime, it's Kit, K-I-T, at GandhiInstitute.org. That's G-A-N-D-H-I, Institute.org. And yeah, please, please, your suggestions, ideas, criticisms, like, you know, I can handle it. Yeah, we really want to learn. We're just super humble, trying to do this with always like very little budget. But, you know, we touched over a million people with this project. And we got to figure out a way to stay in these spaces. And my great gratitude again to you, Dan and Nancy, for the chance to be with everybody tonight.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you. And just a reminder to everybody that this call is recorded. So if you're excited about what you're hearing and want to share it with friends, family, other folks in your life, you can find it on the website, peacealliance.org. It'll be up there within a few days. Kit, you're more than welcome to stick with us for any part of the rest of the call if you'd like, but we also totally understand if your schedule is such that you need to take your leave. I'm going to unmute Nancy so that she can say a final goodbye, and I appreciate Nancy's work in bringing you on the call, sending the invitation, and helping to arrange this. I'm so glad that we got to visit with you, Kit. Nancy, you're unmuted if you want to say any closing words to Kit.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Kit, for your work and for this project, and wish you luck in the future. And we really appreciate all you've been doing throughout all the years on nonviolence and peace building. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Nancy.
Okay, so as I said, Kit, you're more than welcome to stick with us, but if you have to go, we completely understand.
I'm going to chill for a little while.
Okay, sounds good. So let me mute folks. Next on our agenda, the Truth and Reconciliation Campaign. So folks who've been on the calls the last 2 months or even before that, earlier in the fall and the summer, may know that we've been addressing, Brian Stevenson was mentioned earlier, and he's one of the directors and one of the founders, I believe, of the Equal Justice Institute, Equal Justice Initiative, which created this new Peace and Justice Memorial and Legacy Museum in Montgomery, Alabama, also known by some as the Lynching Memorial. And so the last few months, we've been working with folks around publicizing the truth and reconciliation process that this memorial has offered to the country, to the world. They've created a memorial site that has these 6-foot-tall monuments, and there are 805 of them, one monument for each county in which there are documented cases of lynching in the United States. And the invitation is that there are also replicas of these 6-foot-tall monuments available for each county to bring home to begin or stimulate an earnest conversation about what is our history of racial violence and begin to address that. And there are some places that have already taken this on. So in December and November, you were invited to talk to your county commissioners and also to work on op-eds, to write an op-ed piece and submit it to your local newspaper or to a regional newspaper. Later on in the call, when we get to field chairs, if anyone has had success with any of those conversations or publication, we'd welcome hearing about it. I'm happy to report that I got an op-ed published in the Tallahassee Democrat on December 27th, and you can find it. I'm going to plan to send a link to that to our national list so you can take a look, but you can also search for it, Tallahassee Democrat, December 27th, and search my name. And as a result of getting that published, I was contacted by two groups here in Tallahassee, the Rotary Club and a particular church that already have sort of a remembrance committee that's working forward, trying to bring our memorial home, to create some of this conversation. And it's such a powerful conversation that can happen around what happened in this era of Jim Crow and before and since. And I have plans to meet with some of those folks on Thursday, and we're going to work on plans to talk with the county commissioners here. Finally, on my end, I'm also the executive director of the Florida Restorative Justice Association, and I intend to promote this as a statewide initiative to connect with folks in all the counties throughout Florida who might want to work on bringing these conversations into the light. So hopefully some of the forward momentum that I'm experiencing will inspire you folks. Maybe you've got a draft of your op-ed on your computer already. You probably already have the action sheet. If not, that's also available on our website with guidance for creating an op-ed. You're welcome to use my op-ed as a template and see who else in your community is excited about this. Even if there's not, if there are not documented lynchings in your county, there are other areas where truth and reconciliation can be a powerful thing. So you can listen to the recordings of those December and November calls. You can look at the action sheets. And if you have any questions for me about my process, I welcome that. So next up, Department of Peacebuilding update. And we're going back to Nancy for that. Nancy, you're live.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations, Sam. That's terrific.
Thank you.
Very proud of you. As far as the Department of Peacebuilding campaign, we wrapped up 2018 by submitting to Congresswoman Barbara Lee's office our suggestions for updating the DOP Act of 2019 now. So as most of you know, with each new Congress, we have to reintroduce the bill and recruit co-sponsors. So Barbara Lee will be submitting this bill probably within a very few weeks when the number 1111 comes up. And right now Congress has already submitted almost 300 bills. So this could be any time now. So in conjunction with the new bill being dropped and with Season for Nonviolence, we will start recruiting new Department of Peacebuilding co-sponsors. We're focusing on four separate groups. So the former co-sponsors, some of the Congress people that we've been in touch with in the past, some of the newly elected Democrats who are categorize themselves as progressives, and any members of Congress that we have constituents for. So that means we definitely need your help. And in a few minutes, Kendra Mon will talk a little bit about this action. In addition to that, Maggie Corin from our California campaign recently posted an article on movers and shakers, and a related article was published in the peacenow.com December newsletter. And in those articles, she talks about structural nonviolence. So I urge you to go to the Movers and Shakers page and check out her article. The one there is called Peace is Not a Season. It's a way of life, a way of being. And we'll have more news very soon about what's happening in California. In November, the California Democratic Party adopted our resolution to encourage state legislators to establish a California peacebuilding and violence prevention government entity. So I'll be posting a story about that, and that's going to be one of our big projects for this 2019. So as always, we're working on all those things, and we can use your help in any way. We also want to acknowledge all of you and some of our Department of Peacebuilding Peace Alliance peace builders who passed away this year, which includes Brian Gibbs from our San Diego group and Mary Alice O'Connor from our California group and national group, and anybody you all know. I just so appreciate all of you. So I would like to introduce Kendra Mon, who's from our National Department of Peacebuilding Committee, to talk a little bit about our two Season for Nonviolence actions.
Hi, this is Kendra. And if you look at your action sheet, we have a lot of information there, and I realize that we're already running out of time, and I want to keep this short. But the main thing is that we'll be making calls to members of Congress. You can call your own member of Congress. The information is on the handout that you can find on the internet and in your email. And let them know that you're very concerned about the violence. And actually, in my case, I'm very concerned about the divisiveness in this country. And I think that leads to violence. So we are asking our members of Congress, and if you would like to join us in a further, a wider effort, you can contact Nancy at peacealliance.org for information about how you might call additional members of Congress, such as she suggested, and say who you are, that you're a constituent or somebody who's very concerned about violence and in this country and internationally, and you urge that member of Congress to co-sponsor the new Department of Peacebuilding Act of 2019. I think that's as short as I could make it.
That was very concise, Kendra, and I appreciate the efficiency. It didn't have to be quite so concise. We've got a few more minutes. And just to remind folks, the action sheet Kendra was talking about should be in all of your inboxes. So you should all have an email from me that would have arrived about an hour and 10 minutes ago with a link to that action sheet. So Kendra, if you want to do something else for a few minutes, you are welcome to.
I just want to say that this is our effort for the Season for Nonviolence. And the Season for Nonviolence is celebrated all over the world. Sometimes it's in just your local churches. Sometimes there's a community-wide effort. It's been going on now for, I think, 20 years or so. And founded by Dr. Arun Gandhi and the Association for Global New Thought, the idea is that we focus on spreading the same word that Kit is talking about, that nonviolence works, what nonviolence is, how you can learn the skills of nonviolence and use them. And if you look up Season for Nonviolence, you'll find out more information. And as Kit mentioned, there's lots of information on the metacenter.org website too.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so as promised, we have 17 minutes for field shares for what's going on in your world. We can also use some of this time for questions. If you have questions for Nancy or for Kendra about the action or about the Department of Peacebuilding activity, I see Kit is still with us, so she might entertain some more questions potentially. I would leave that to folks what you want to talk about. I put all the hands down that were up before. So if you have a question or if you want to share what's been happening for you in your world, you can raise your hand, as I said, on your video. You can find the hand raise option, or if you're on the phone, you can press *9. And I did receive a text message from Ngozi, who's also on our leadership council, that she plans to have her op-ed on the truth and reconciliation process submitted on Friday. So I'm sure she wouldn't mind me sharing that with you. I see Nancy's hand is up. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hi. I just wanted to add a couple of things about the action. First of all, this time of year and when the bills are reintroduced into Congress is the time we typically get the most co-sponsors. So if there's a time you're thinking of participating in this, this would be a really good time. A lot of people want to be original co-sponsors. And so to do that, they need to sign on before the bill is introduced. Hmm. And the second thing I wanted to say is we also have an action listed relating to sharing your story of nonviolence with the Nonviolence Now campaign. And Kit mentioned this, but go to their website and there's a map there and there's a place you can click to add your story of nonviolence. So I urge you also to do that. And I don't know if you have more to add to that or not, Kit, but
if you do, please let us know.
Nancy, since we've got a little bit of time and no hands up at this very instant, can we do a role play of that call to a member of Congress asking for co-sponsors for the bill?
We could. Does Kendra want to do that?
Just try to palm it off. Huh? Yeah, I'll be glad to do that.
Okay. So do you know who your House member is?
Yes. I have to think of it, though.
If you don't, we know where you can find it, right? If you need to find out who your House member is, you can look up who is my House member, who is my representative on Google, and you'll get to a website that asks you to put in your zip code, and you put it in, and then it'll turn up. So if you forget, you can look it up on Google, and you can go to, what is it, congress.gov, and find your House member. It's a 1 minute process. Did you think of it, Kendra, or should we just go ahead and be?
Yes, but that just goes to show you how nervous somebody can be on the phone. Jared Huffman is my member of Congress, and that is true. When you make your first call, especially, you might be a little nervous. But my experience is that the offices are pleased to talk to somebody who's not a polished politico. So
perfect. So maybe it makes sense to write down a few things like your House member's name before you make the call. So so do you want to say ring, ring? And are you calling the Congress switchboard, or are you calling Jared Huffman's office directly? Tell me that.
Jared Huffman's office directly.
Okay, so you say ring, ring, and I'll answer the phone.
Okay, ring, ring.
Hello, Jared Huffman's office. How may I help you?
Hi, my name is Kendra Mon, and I'm a constituent, live in Petaluma, California, and I'd like to talk to somebody in your office about a bill that I really recommend that Jared Huffman support. It's called the Department of Peacebuilding Act of 2019. Is there a member of the staff that I can speak to about this?
Sure. Well, I'm happy to take down the name of the bill. I actually just wrote it down while you were talking, and I'm happy to pass along to the congressman that you're interested in this bill.
Well, that would be great, and I really strongly recommend that you pull it up on your computer, because we find that anybody who reads the bill just gets so excited about it. What we're talking about is having a cabinet-level department with a Secretary of Peacebuilding, and the whole department would be making peace a national priority by addressing the root causes of violence and researching solutions and policies and programs that already work. So this is something that we really need. Don't you agree?
That does sound like a powerful prospect. I think that would be wonderful if we could do that.
So it would be great if you would pass this on. And who might I follow up with on your staff?
Well, it sounds like, now, is this about domestic policies or like international peace building?
Oh my goodness, it's about both. And and often we get referred to international, but actually 85% of the bill is concerning domestic violence, because we want to build peace before we export it.
Okay. Well, it's a little tricky, because of course we've got someone in the office that specializes in foreign relations. And then we've got someone who specializes in criminal justice, and someone else who specializes in education. So it seems like it could fall in any of those categories. Why don't I put it towards our education specialist? Would that be a good place to start?
That would be just fine.
Okay, that's Mary O'Donnell. And that's Mary M. O'Donnell at house.gov.us. I will send this to her as well as to the congressman's list of callers, so he'll know that you have this support.
That would be great, and we're hoping that during this season for nonviolence that it would look at it closely and consider being an original co-sponsor.
Okay.
And I will follow up. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome. Thanks for the call.
Okay. And read the bill.
Okay. I will. I will take a look. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. And scene. So Kendra, let's debrief quickly, or not so quickly. What did you like about what you did there? Let's see, what did you do there that you would want to do in real life?
I think everything that I did, I would want to do in real life, but what I didn't do, because I met somewhere that, is say something personal about why this is so important to me.
Okay. So can I highlight some of the things that I liked about what you did?
Sure.
Okay. I agree. I would do everything that you did too. I just want to underline them so that folks hear them more clearly. You mentioned that you are a constituent. That's really important. You also mentioned where you're from specifically. You said you're a constituent from Petaluma. So that places you in the district. You're a person. You shared the name of the bill and you told a little bit about it. So those are all, you know, big check marks. And you also made a real specific request. You said you'd like for the congressman to be an original co-sponsor. That's specifically what you wanted, was to be original co-sponsor. So I think those are all boxes that are really valuable to check. And there's no exactly right way of doing this. You know, but there are certainly things that I think are worth trying to include there. And those are all some really great ones. And as you said, it could be useful to say something personal about why this matters to you. Share a little bit more about the heartstrings of, you know, where this really touches you, right? Something like that.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else that you would like, that you would want to do differently or additionally?
Not really.
Okay. Great. All right. Thanks for putting it out there and leading by example. I see Nancy's hand is up, but I don't know if it's from before or if it's current. Nancy, did you have something else on your mind?
I think it was from before, but I would maybe mention, I'm not sure if she mentioned the bill number.
Okay.
And to ask them to be sure and contact Barbara Lee's office, and we gave the address or the phone number for that. But other than that, you're hired, Kendra.
Okay, thanks.
Cool. So, yeah, so you can also give the bill number. And do we know that it's going to be 1111? Is that the plan?
That's the plan, and they have reserved that number, so unless something strange happens, that it will be 1111.
Okay, great. And then Barbara Lee is introducing it, so you would ask them to contact Barbara Lee's office for more information so they can get on the same page
right.
about it.
Right, and okay. to sign on.
All right, super. Thanks again to you both. There are no other hands up currently. Anybody else have something to share about peace building in your world, whether it's your country, state, tribe, city, school, family, mind, heart, or otherwise? Seeing none, I'll pivot back to Nancy and see if there's anything else on your mind that you want to share while folks are here, because we can end the call 5 minutes early. And maybe you have something else on your mind, or we can say goodnight. What do you think, Nancy?
Something is on my mind about the museum that you've been talking about. You had mentioned possibly going to visit. Were you able to do that?
Oh, yeah, thanks. I had intended to mention that, but it slipped my mind. I did actually visit. So in Montgomery, I went to the museum and memorial, and It was powerful, as one might expect. I think they did a phenomenal job of presenting a context and a place, images and words that, I think it's still sinking in. This was just about a week ago, 8 days ago. And it, interestingly, it was the same day that my op-ed was published. I was on the way there when I found out that my piece was published in the newspaper. It was kind of poignant. I highly recommend a pilgrimage to see it and experience it. It is experiential. Did you have other questions about it? Nancy or anyone?
Why, yes, I assume you recommend it. I hope to go sometime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely do. Oh. I see Deborah Poss is calling me, and I wonder if she's trying to get on the call. I think that's a tough call. I don't know how I would technically answer that call and help her to get on. Sorry, Deborah. I don't know how to arrange that in these few minutes. Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts or questions about anything that we've covered? Or shall we call it a night? I'll give it 15, 20 seconds, see if any hands go up. Maybe see if Nancy has a favorite closing quote for us. If not, I can certainly call upon one, but I'm happy to welcome some new material. Nancy, do you have a closing quote for us?
Sure. I put a couple on the action sheet that struck me as really nice. One of them was, it takes four generations to recover from every act of violence. And the second is that all nonviolence is organized love. And that was the first one was by Rebecca Adamson, and the second by Joan Baez.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to unmute everybody so you can say farewells to each other or whatever you'd like to say. And thanks again to all of you for being with us. And I wish you all a whole lot of peace.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Good night. Thank you. Happy peaceful New Year.
I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Bye.
Good night.
Thank you for all you're doing. Bless you. Peace on earth.